The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
I don't know about today's show. I'll tell you that right now.
Why is that?
I'm just loopy. And it's not because of fatigue, for a change. I'm just in a loopy mood. Tremendous pre-show controversy. Nicole thinks we should do this topic, get this guest. They go, nah, we don't need that guest. And then she picks up the phone and starts calling, goes, I'm booking the interview. No, I want to do that. And so we're like, and then
I'm loving it.
And
Nicole.
Then I want a song. And she goes, I don't get it. Why
she's
is this?
Being a producer.
I go, what? She says, why is this funny? And I said, oh, it's funny to me. It's hilarious. And so we have that going on. And then there's the whole thing that you were inadvertently caught in the middle of this morning.
Oh, yeah. You almost ran me over. You were in such a hurry. Well, you're all sweaty.
And that was the thing. I was working myself into a rage, too.
And I was hoping I could calm you down, but no.
Here's the thing. I don't have any free time when I get here. I literally within 10 seconds of sitting at my desk.
I know.
The schedule is 6:30 to 9:30. I do prep at home. I've done prep the night before. 6:30 to 9:30, I do prep. Then I go to the gym and work out for about a half hour. And then I come straight here from the gym and I go downstairs to shower. Now, in the building, and this if you've been listening for 5 years, this came up about 5 years
ago. This comes up repeatedly.
Yes. So I go, we have one shower in this building, and it's in a room that also has a single toilet and then like a few lockers. And that's it. That's what this room is. So there's some people in the building here who go into that room to use the toilet, and there's a bathroom, a men's and a women's room, literally 10 steps down that hallway, but they want their own private suite. And so, and then there's a men's and women's room on the main floor where we are now. Mm-hmm. And then there's men's and ladies' rooms upstairs. So
maybe they're shy,
but there's doors on the stalls. There are bathrooms everywhere in this building, but some selfish people go in because they need their suite. And then I go and I try to get in so I can shower. There's only one shower in the building, Ursula.
Conversely, ask you, why don't you just shower at the gym?
Because that's gross.
And also, I'm okay with people not stinking up the larger bathrooms. Oh.
Look, all I'm saying...
But this is not supposed to be story number one.
Well, no, it's not. But if that's the concern, what do you think it's like to go in and steam up and shower right afterwards? Okay?
But the likelihood of you entering the bathroom.
No, it's happening all the time lately. So,
but before you even walked in, Nicole, Dory's already been talking about how he's just like frothing. He's upset because there's like you guys were beefing about what to do,
what guest to get, what song to use.
And I said, "Good for you, Nicole."
Thanks, Ursula.
And hey, Diane, are you listening to this? Is Diane out there? Because I think we need a voicemail after what we just heard a second ago.
She's already dialing us up.
If you're going to kick people out of that bathroom, I want that poopery stuff and all the you can supply that to the rest of us.
That's the second time you've used that word. Okay, so I get on a mission now. And so I don't interact with anybody here. I sit and I do show prep. But I go to my desk and I open up Microsoft Word and I go to the biggest font I can find. Please reserve this room for people who need the shower. There are lots of other bathrooms in the building. Thank you. And then I go downstairs and I tape it on the door. But now I'm like a half hour behind schedule. And I'm like a Swiss watch here.
He actually asked me if that was nice enough language.
Oh, no, he asked me too.
Yeah, no, I ran it by both of you.
And it was perfectly good language. Now, if you...
But that's why I'm on edge.
I know. If the roles were reversed, though. If the roles were reversed, and you were the person now using that bathroom in privacy, you hear someone complaining about you on the air, mm-hmm. and then you see that sign, what are you going to do?
I'm not going to use it because I already am not using
it. Why don't we just reserve it for you from like 10:45 to 11?
That's not fair to other people who work out or go for a run. It can't be my private little thing, but it should just be for – because I go in the shower every day when I – try to open the door and it's locked. And then when I finally get in, I open the shower door and it's dry as a bone.
I think you and Brian are the only ones that use it for showers anyway.
Brian
Bucklew.
Oh my.
I'm pretty sure you two are the only ones.
We are really pulling back the curtain.
No, I'm sorry. Well, I don't know who else does.
So you guys can decide on times.
Okay. So anyway, I just want to explain right off the bat, and I know this isn't what we were intending on starting the show with, but I just want to explain, if I sound a little on edge, it's because the morning went all haywire. And I think I was so worked up about this whole shower thing, then Nicole and I start bickering about guests and songs. And
you got Diane all riled up, and now we're going to get voicemails.
Good.
Great way to end the week.
Diane, I'm outnumbered here. It's one against two. I need Diane. I need 2-2. And you're the tiebreaker, Diane.
Just calm down over there. Stop sweating.
All time. Yeah, and then I don't even want to get into that. I don't even want to get into the boob sweat. But I think it's never mind. Okay.
Yeah, that's been a thing this morning, too.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Okay, why don't we start the show? Let's get right into the big lead.
The big lead.
Can we call
top
it
story?
Tech sweat, maybe, or something other than boob sweat for you?
Yeah, peck. That's why didn't I say peck?
No.
Oh, sorry. Oh, man. Okay, we got so much stuff to talk about here. So I saw that Jenny Durkin got back in town last night after her trip down to Texas. What we did confirm, bunch of people asked me, how much did this end up costing the taxpayers? And the answer is, we can't find out, because it did cost us a lot for her to go down to Texas. Now, they claim that Jenny Durkin paid for her airfare and her hotel, but she gets a Seattle police security detail. And the taxpayers paid for their airfare, for their hotel, for their meals, for all of that. So Durkin's little gallivanting down to Texas ended up costing us thousands and thousands of dollars. Also, that she could just put on a show when, as I pointed out yesterday, there is some incredibly serious, you know, number of issues that she should be dealing with here at home before she goes off to, you know, get some camera time on the Tex-Mex border. We told you yesterday about the police report said 3-month-old baby. It was incorrect. We now know it was a 5-month-old baby that was found the night of May 30th, abandoned 11 p.m. in a drug RV down where I-5 meets I-90, down on Dearborn and Rainier Avenue. The baby was shivering, left unattended, and Cairo TV, our news partners, they talked to a homeless person around that RV who said, well, that mom is trying to get better.
She's getting her life intact. I mean, everybody that's going through hardship, you know, needs a chance, needs a rebound.
Okay, but you leave a 5-month-old alone in an RV so that you deal with your drug issues. It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Paige Tangney is another resident around there.
What comes to mind, first of all, is what would be the situation in which a parent would abandon their child in that kind of situation? I mean, I would really hope that that can be sorted out and that person can be helped and that child can be cared for.
And here's a woman who brings food to the homeless and drug encampments all around there. Her name is Jana Picar.
I'm not going to judge anybody. I think parenting is the most difficult job in the world, and they must have had a reason.
Had a reason? They must have had a reason for leaving a shivering 5-month-old baby abandoned in a drug RV. I mean, I understand people wanting to be compassionate, but let's not just spew nonsense. There is no real reason for leaving a baby abandoned in a drug RV. But this is something that we are seeing everywhere around the region. These RVs are everywhere in Snohomish and Kitsap and Pierce and Thurston and Skagit counties, and of course everywhere around King County, which brings us to the next story in our big lead.
The big lead. Bizarro world.
That's what it is around here. All around Western Washington. And wait till you hear the story about what a mom is going through because she took her kid to Ocean Shores a few days ago. We're going to talk to this mom at 12:30, and it's another incredible story. A couple nights ago, there was a huge RV fire down in the Soto neighborhood. And a guy who lives in an RV right nearby named Larry, he talked to Cairo 7 about the fire.
The whole thing was fully involved. I mean, it was black. The sky was just horrible. It went up so fast.
And the flames spread a bit to a nearby business, too.
I was getting scared that I was going to lose mine, too.
That's your home.
Yeah, that's my home. That's all I've got.
A couple of guys who work nearby, they were also talking to Cairo TV. This guy is Jordan, and they just can't believe what they have to deal with just getting to and from work and every day.
And now there's this new wave of all these RV campers pulling in everywhere, and it's an epidemic in Seattle right now. It's really bad.
It is an epidemic. So here's my question for our esteemed Attorney General, Bob Ferguson, who announced yesterday that he is going to file his 27th lawsuit against the Trump administration. Hey, Bob, Bobby Sue, are you going to file any lawsuits against Jenny Durkin, against the Seattle City Council? You're saying you're going after Trump for the deplorable condition for kids down on the Texas-Mexico border? Are you going to file a lawsuit against Jenny Durkin and the Seattle City Council and the King County Council? Hey, spread it, spread the love for the deplorable conditions all around the state in which you are the attorney general. You going to file a lawsuit at home? You going to take care of your own state before you try to take care of the nation? I mean, we have children. You said your heart breaks for the children in these tents down on the border. Does your heart break for the five-month-old baby left abandoned in an RV? Do you have any compassion? Or do you only go after the administration because it's Trump and it's a Republican and you hate him? But Democrats who run Seattle and King County and Washington State, I can't do it. Kids in RVs, that's okay. Drug RVs left abandoned, shivering on a 50-degree night, I don't care about that. Nah, you don't care about deplorable conditions here at home, Bobby Sue. You just care about it down on the Texas border, right? Can anyone explain that to me? Can anybody give me a rationale as to why our attorney general would complain about conditions for children on the Texas-Mexico border, but have no problem with RVs and tents and encampments? Encampments, by the way, where little girls are getting raped, documented in the jungle and elsewhere. Conditions where five-month-old babies are left abandoned, shivering in the night. Do you think maybe Bob Ferguson should try to take care of the massive problems around here? But he can't. Because if he goes after any Democrat in this state, well, then he might lose some of the party's support when he runs for governor in 2020. And it's all about politics. It's not about compassion. It's not about caring for children. Up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead. I sense a Dory rant coming on.
Well, and then last night, there was this big march. And it went from St. Mark's Cathedral to St. James, I believe it was, up on Capitol Hill. Hundreds and hundreds of people out on the streets. I mean, they were in the cathedral, and they were all complaining or praying. We'll just say praying. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. For the children on the Texas-Mexico border. And they were marching in the street then, hundreds strong, complaining about conditions on the Texas-Mexico border. This is a church that was headed up by a pastor who a couple days ago compared our country to terror nations. She said that we are like terrorists. And I thought, well, that's just insane. That's absolutely insane that we're like Al-Qaeda. I mean, look, I don't think anybody loves the sight of those children in those tents down on the border. But as I said a couple of days ago when we first got that audio in, to compare the United States enforcing its laws, enforcing its borders, to compare us to Al-Qaeda or any other terrorist organization is pure insanity. So when I saw this march up on Capitol Hill last night, I was thinking, is this about faith? Or is this just using a church so that you can have a leftist political agenda because you hate Trump? And I don't know what the motivation is of the people who claim to care. You know, it's kind of like last night on MSNBC, Donnie Deutsch, he was talking about how it's not just about the president anymore. It's about anybody who supports the border security and everything else that we're doing.
We can no longer say Trump's the bad guy. If you vote for Trump, you're the bad guy. Mm-hmm. If you vote for Trump, you are ripping children from parents' arms. The mistake that we've made in the past is look at that bad guy over there. Look at that bad guy. What the Democrats have to do is make the next election a referendum on not who Trump is, but who you are. And we all, that's the big difference. You can no longer now as a voter, because it's now not about taxes. It's not even about some abstract term of immigration or nationalism. If you vote for Trump, then you, the voter, you, not Donald Trump, are standing at the border like Nazis going, you here, you here. And I think we now have to flip it. And it's a given, the evilness of Donald Trump. But if you vote, you can no longer separate yourself. You can't say, well, he's okay, but. And I think that gymnastics and I think that jujitsu has to happen.
So you are like a Nazi if you support enforcing our laws and border security and saying if you want to claim asylum, you have to go through one of the legal ports of entry. If you support all of that, according to Donnie Deutsch, you're a Nazi. And that's what I'm talking about. It's just gotten so ridiculous. And that's why I don't believe the sincerity of the people who, you know, are marching in the street. I don't know that that's about their Christian faith. I have no idea. Because if you have people on your side who are comparing anyone who supports border security to Nazis at the concentration camp gates, well, it's just gotten insane. It's gotten absolutely insane. And again, when are you going to have some criticism of the Attorney General for taking care of things down in Texas before he takes care of things here at home? You put all that together, and that is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Wait till you hear what happened to a mom who tried to take her 4-year-old boy to the beach at Ocean Shores a couple of days ago. It's a nightmare that's happening all too often around here. And that's up next, right after Russell checks the news here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we have talked about many, many times, the drug epidemic around here is not just a Seattle issue. I've talked to people up to the Canadian border, south into Vancouver, Washington, and out to the Washington coast, which is where we take you for this story, where a family's just going through a nightmare because of the heroin epidemic around here. And the mom in this case is Carrie McKnight. She joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Carrie, I appreciate you coming on with me this afternoon.
Hi, thank you.
So walk me through what happened. You were over near Ocean Shores.
We were at the Quinault Beach Resort, and I'm a middle school teacher, so we just ended school, and I decided to take my 4-year-old on a trip, just me and him. And we were walking out to the beach on our last night there, and we were holding hands, and we were following the trail of a beetle. It's really cool if you get a chance to see it.
I have seen that. I've seen that in the sand at Ocean Shores, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. And all of a sudden, my son said, ow, and I looked down, and there was a hypodermic needle. And I, of course, freaked out, and there was another couple on the beach, and they came running over, and I picked up the hypodermic needle, and there was stuff in it. We have no idea what's in it. They can't even test it. We went to Harborview. They can't even test it. And he had been poked up towards the top of his ankle with it. So I'm assuming that he stepped on it with one foot and the other foot, you poked him.
Yeah,
of course, we don't know exactly.
Yeah, one foot probably pried it up, and the other one swung into it. Okay. My wife and I have three daughters. I remember when they were little, you're always on guard. What goes mm-hmm. through a mom's mind when you're starting to figure out what just went down?
Yeah, I literally just wanted to die. I wish it would have been me. He's just a baby, and like I know somebody who is trying to recover from addiction, and like the first thing I was, of course, I was angry at him, and then I was like, I don't even know where this came from, so I don't want to be angry at. I mean, he wasn't there, but you know, it's like you think of every single addict you've ever met, and you want to blame them. But I don't know. It could have been insulin. You know, we have no idea. But literally, I was just terrified. And I called the 911, like, right away. And somebody came out. And they were very helpful. It wasn't exactly what I wanted. I wanted people out there searching that beach so that nobody else got stuck with a needle, you know. But they were kind of a little nonchalant about it, which made me even sadder. Like, you know, all these things happen, and no, they don't. They shouldn't happen.
No, that is what is so sad about this is it's become so commonplace that, you know, sadly, our public officials have just kind of accepted it as a regular part of life. And we shouldn't accept this as a regular part of life, you know. So 911, did paramedics come out?
They did, and they took his vitals, and they said there wasn't really anything that they could do. They could watch him overnight, but that was it. And so the next morning we drove to Harborview. I had the needle with me. They said there's nothing they could do. They can't test it. And they didn't want me to have to pay for an ER visit. So they just sent us to our regular doctor, where at that point he got all of his shots because he's four. So they get their shots between 4 and 6.
Sure.
So I just had him do them all, and tetanus. It was included. And then they took a blood draw, which they had to take 6 vials of blood from my 4-year-old son. It was horrible. And they have to do that 3 more times over the next 6 months. It's like worst case scenario. This is like horrible.
So it's a 6-month window before they can say absolutely no contracted disease here. I'm curious because I don't know what the timetable is. Why were they not able to test whatever was in the syringe?
They said they just don't have that capacity. And one of the nurses said that she thinks people watch CSI too often, that that's why they think that people think that they can, but they can't. They cannot test what is in the needle. They cannot test the needle for HIV. The only thing they really could test for was DNA, but they didn't. It has to be like a murder involved for them to test that. And I was like, okay. And this was from Harborview. And like, I trust Harborview 100%. Like, I went to the big guns. Like,
absolutely.
I did. I, of course, then did ask my doctor.
Yeah.
But he said this. He confirmed that. But, yeah.
So,
that's been the worst thing is people on Facebook are commenting, you know, get it tested. And I keep telling them over and over again, you can't do that. And they don't believe me. And it's like, please, if somebody knows a place where I could get it tested, please contact me.
Yeah.
Because I would love to.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've had Harborview and your personal doc say that it's not going to happen, then yeah, people should probably lay off that idea. So tell me, Carrie, what does a mom tell her son right after that happens? And as you're, you know, making that 2.5-hour drive from the ocean to Harborview. What do you tell your son about this, if anything?
Not very much. Just that he is poked and he's super strong. Like, I mean, he's already had a black eye and he falls down constantly and he's covered with bruises. And so the little poke to him wasn't a big deal. So I did not talk to him about drugs or anything like that. Just that it wasn't his fault. It was an accident, you know, because I don't want him to think that the world is unsafe, although it is.
Yes.
But I don't want him to live in fear. I mean, it's the best I can do is just be like, we're going to take care of this. It's going to all be fine. And he just told his auntie that he has strong blood, so he's going to be fine.
I'll pray that that's the case. But you said you freaked out. So, I mean, did he wonder about mom's kind of disproportionate response to getting poked by a needle?
Yeah, he did. I started crying. And then, of course, that made him start crying. And then he just said he wanted his daddy. it was just the sweetest thing ever, like, because he wanted to help me and he couldn't help me because he wasn't hurt. He cried because I was crying.
Yeah.
So, you know, he just said he wanted his daddy. And then the fireman came and then, you know, the world is great again.
Yeah.
Because he gets to see the ambulance and, you know, four-year-olds are pretty resilient.
Well, so. I told you right before we went on the air, just parent to parent, I'm so sorry for what you and daddy are going through because you know, I told the story on my show a few weeks ago. My wife and I took our first daughter to the Arboretum when she was little. And she was, you know, we were doing a picnic and she crawled off into the grass and I saw her putting a cigarette butt in her mouth. And that was so awful and disgusting to me. But that was, you know, 25 years ago, Carrie. And to think about what parents now have to be on guard for. It's not cigarette butts. It's heroin needles. And it's just a nightmare out there.
Yeah, no, it's totally true. And it's like, yeah, the cigarette butt thing, that's disgusting. And it's like, oh,
yeah.
But it's like, they're not going to die from that. Like, literally, our world is coming to a place where our children could get a disease and die because of people's carelessness. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. Well, I hope that our public officials are listening because there's so much more that we can and should be doing about this epidemic around here. And again, I'll keep your little boy in my prayers and right out to that 6-month mark. But I'm confident everything will be fine.
Yeah. Here's praying.
Yeah. Okay. Carrie, I appreciate you sharing your story. It's important to get the word out there and all my best to you and your family.
Thank you.
Okay. It's Carrie, who just tried to have a fun getaway with her little 4-year-old. I'd love to get your thoughts. You can text us at 98973. And we have much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, have you heard the latest thing that's going to take down President Trump? Tom Arnold, you know, Roseanne's ex. Tom Arnold has announced that he is teaming up with longtime Trump lawyer Michael Cohen, and he tweeted out a picture of the two of them together, and Tom Arnold wrote, "This dude has all the tapes. This dude has everything." Tom Arnold's promoting, he's got some show coming up on Vice Network called The Hunt for the Trump Tapes. And he says that there are some tapes out there that are worse than the Access Hollywood one. And you know who first broke this story? You know where this story first came to light? On the Dory Monson Show. It was, do you remember, when was Tom Arnold here? It was like a year ago?
Yes.
Because this went international. Our story with Tom Arnold, because he had not talked about this with anybody else. And man, he's an odd.
It was December of 16.
Okay, so a little over a year ago, year and a half ago. And he was one, I mean, he was maybe the most hopped up, and not necessarily on drugs. He was just sweating, and he talked nonstop. And he was just a very odd guy.
He's a hoot.
but he said something in the course of our conversation, and we wrote it up on my blog at My Northwest, and then it all of a sudden it goes international. It gets picked up by all the networks, Daily Mail. So he's still out hyping up this story that there's some tapes about Trump. So here is what Tom Arnold told us. It's a Dory Monson Show exclusive. It's
also,
a year and a half ago.
I think part of the reason was he said he couldn't legally release him. That's why he's saying he's now got a lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
Something along those lines.
None of this matches up. But here's what Tom Arnold told us a year and a half ago. Back in the news today.
It was him sitting in that chair saying the N-word, saying the C-word, calling his son a retard, being so mean to his own children. This is funny. This is this guy. The Sunday before the election, I get a call from Arnold's CAA agent sitting next to Hillary Clinton. They said, "I need you to release him saying the N-word." I said, "Well, now these people, two editors and an associate producer, are scared to death. They're scared of his people. They're scared of they'll never work again. There's a $5 million confidentiality agreement.
If that had gotten released, it absolutely would have finished him.
I don't think so. I think if people that like him saw him saying the N-word, he's sitting matter-of-factly in front of, there has to be 30 people there, and he's matter-of-factly saying all this stuff. So I think they would have liked him more, the people.
Which is nonsense. I mean, that's just utter crap. But that's what Tom Arnold told us a year and a half ago. And this our show was the first place that he made these accusations. And what I said then and what I say now is when you're talking about, you know, the office of the President of the United States of America, the most powerful position on planet Earth, there is so much at stake in power and money. And I tell you all the time, that is all that government and politics is about, power and money. And if that tape existed, Tom Arnold says, well, we had a $5 million confidentiality agreement. You don't think that George Soros wouldn't say, hey, here's $10 million. Pay the $5 million and we'll release this and we'll get Hillary elected. I don't believe anything Tom Arnold says. And when he was, you know, sitting in the studio here with me, and the whole time he's talking, he's the twitchiest guy. It's like talking to a cross between a human and a bunny rabbit. He's just twitchy, and he has sweat streaming down his face.
Hey, wait, where have I seen that today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't go there sometimes. I was the calm one when I was in the studio with Tom Arnold, if you can imagine that. But so anyway, if that tape existed, it would have come out before the election. And if it existed today, I can't believe that somebody sitting on it, the Access Hollywood, got out there. Because
Do you really think it might not exist? It probably does.
It might. I mean, but I can't believe it wouldn't have already been released.
Maybe it's just not as bad as he's saying it.
I mean, if look, the Access Hollywood was enough to make me not vote for Trump against Hillary Clinton. So if there's a tape of him just casually, you know, saying the N-word and the C-word, I can't believe that it wasn't released before the election. Maybe I'll be wrong, but I think Tom Arnold's just hyping up the show, and I'm not sure, based on my conversation with him, that there's going to be much to it. All right, the Fastest 15 is coming up next.